Thanks to Tifosi Optics, maker of my favorite sunglasses. Tifosi has the tagline, where sport meets life, which is so true. I wear Tifosi sunglasses running, playing pickleball, cycling, driving, and walking the dog. Get 20% off with code AMR20 at TifosiOptics.com. Run the Rose City by doing the Portland Marathon presented by OHSU Health. The marathon and the half marathon both feature several crossings of Portland's iconic bridges, and both races have a downtown start and finish. Use code AMR20 for $20 off registration at portlandmarathon.com. Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen Shea. I'm joined by Tish Hamilton. Hello, Tish.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I am good. I'm fresh off of Pickleball League. We're recording on a Tuesday, which is unusual for us. And on Tuesday morning, I have a women's league that I play with from 8 to 10 a.m. And it is, sorry, family, it's pretty much the high point of my week.
Well, is it quiet there in your part of neck of the woods this week? Because it must be spring break for elementary schools and high schools in our neighborhood. Because we went out for a run this morning, we noticed the streets were so quiet. It was so nice. But like, where is everybody?
I have to say, so last week it was spring break here in Portland, Oregon, and it's, I'm sorry, people who drive their kids to school, but it's so nice to not have to be on the lookout for people who are probably distracted and maybe a little frustrated, maybe running a little late, all that stuff. It's like, oh, I have the streets to myself. This is lovely.
Yeah, 100%. Our regular route takes us right by a high school, and we have to like run sort of like a horseshoe to go around it so we don't get caught in the pickup drop off area. Mm-hmm. And we're going up there today. I'm like, wow, this is nice. We can just run right by it. Right.
Yes. I mean, no disrespect. I was one of those parents doing drop off.
So yeah. Yes.
I'm the pot calling the kettle black, but yeah.
No. No disrespect either. Although I have to also say, I do not miss having to negotiate the pickup drop off line, you know, which is always crazy with, you know, people going this way and that way.
Completely. Although I do, now that it's in my rearview mirror, no pun intended, I do miss driving my kids to school.
And that time mm-hmm. together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That chit chat and then when they're even younger and, you know, parking and then walking them in, you know, I'd like to be able to transport just back for a couple days. I don't want to go back for real, but
I thought you were going to say for a couple of minutes.
No, I can handle a couple days. Yeah. Oh, goodness. So, and there is a big race coming up this weekend there in Savannah?
Yes. Yeah, so here in Savannah, we have this, it's the Publix Women's Half Marathon, and it's on Saturday. And it's a lovely course that goes through sort of the historic part of Savannah and then goes through our Forsyth Park, which is like our little mini central park, and then through another park as well. So it's a pretty nice race. And, I don't want to jinx, anything weather gods, please stay with me. it's looking like it's going to be cool-ish, which, I'm delighted because last year it was warm-ish. Mm-hmm. And the last 3 miles of half marathon, they're very exposed. It's on sort of a main road. And you know how it is at the end of a race, you get tired. Mm-hmm. And with the sun beating down, it's like, oh, I can get a little bit cranky. So.
No, I don't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. Oh, and I was talking to my partner, like, my training has been not, I haven't been training a lot. For a few minutes, I thought I was going to be out of town. So I was like, oh, I'm not running the race. So I can back off my long runs. Mm. But that all went away. And so I'm going to be in town. And I said, you know, I'm in really, really good shape for a 10-mile race.
Unfortunately, the race is 13.1 miles.
Unfortunately, there's still another 5K to go.
Have your doppelganger jump in. Quick, take my number. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have to be mindful of that because I know I'll be like, oh, I feel great, and go out at a pace that like come those last 3 miles and be like, what was I thinking?
Oh, my goodness. And I should say we are recording this on April 2nd. So people must be like, wait a minute, what? I don't understand. Because we're recording this well in advance of when it's going to run.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah. So the race, your race will be in your rear view mirror. So we need to ask the listeners, how'd Tish do? Was the weather good?
Yeah. How did that no training go for her? Right.
Do as I say, not as I do. Well, oh, that's exciting. That's very exciting. And it's all a lead up to your other Savannah race.
Yes, there's another, the women's marathon in November, which I'm super excited about. And as I have shared with you and all my students and anybody who will listen, they have gotten the poet laureate, Amanda Gorman, who is young, delightful, you know, 20 something poet, and has this really lovely speaking tone. And she, there's a promo video that's, you know, a minute long, and what she talks about why women's only marathon is such a cool thing. And it gives me chills just talking about it. And I showed it to my class. I'm like, this is so great. It's a combination of running and words, my two favorite things in the world.
This is the Tish Hamilton Venn diagram right here.
Exactly. And they humored me.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, it's interesting that Savannah has, you know, several women's races. That's a nice,
I know,
thing.
And you know, it does make me wonder if you know, and you would know this better than I am because you're plugged into this world, as you know, a trend coming back for women's sponsor, it's not women only because men can run, but you know, women focused races. Have you seen that with other races, Sarah?
You know, so the Pacific Northwest has always had, or since I've been working in it, a lot of women's only races. There's the Happy Girls races. There's Hippie Chick. There's, oh gosh, Girlfriends. And for a while I was like, I'd be telling Dimity, she's like, wait, they all like have the same name. Like, I don't understand. I'm like, yeah, it's tough to keep it straight. So I don't know. That would be interesting to see if they are back on the rise, because when Another Mother Runner started back in 2010, so in the early 10s, there were definitely a lot of them. And then it did seem like they, I mean, there's always been the Zuma race around, and that's a women's only series. But there seemed to be several other women's series, and then they went bye-bye. And so I don't know if it's on the rise again or not. But it's just nice that Savannah has more than
one. I'm thrilled because, you know, it's the weekend after New York City Marathon, which I didn't qualify for this year. And I thought about entering the lottery, and I didn't. My two best running friends from New Jersey are both in it.
Oh.
But I just saw, and you may have seen this too, that 165,000 people applied for the lottery. And only 4% got in.
Oh my gosh, it's like college admissions these days.
That's what they said. It's like, it's easier to get into Yale than it is to get into the New York City Marathon.
Oh my gosh. Wow. SAT scores are optional for New York City Marathon. I hope
right.
So. Wow, that's unreal that many people applied.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yes. It is unreal. So I was like, I'm not sure I want to do it, so I should not enter the lottery. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. I probably wouldn't have gotten in.
Right. Wow. Wow. All right. Well, speaking of marathons, so again, we're recording this on April 2nd, but as people are listening, the Boston Marathon is happening on Monday, the 15th. And, wanted to do a topic that dealt somewhat with that iconic race. So today we're talking with two folks involved with the Boston Bulldogs Running Club, which uses Boston Marathon as a major fundraiser. The Boston Bulldogs Running Club is a co-ed nonprofit club established to provide an anonymous and safe community of support for all those adversely affected by addiction, those in recovery, their families and friends, the clinical community, and the community at large. The group hosts numerous free runs a week, as well as other programs. We'll be talking to Megan Langlois, and I hope I just said her last name right, the Bulldogs Director of Programs and Outreach, who has been with the club since its early days, then with Michael Goff, yes, that is a man, a father runner who lost his brother to addiction and depression. Michael is an avid member of the Boston Bulldogs, as well as the Another Mother Runner community, and he's running Boston Marathon in honor of his brother. Thanks for joining us, Megan.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, and congratulations are in order. I know you're due with your second baby this month. That's very exciting.
Yeah, even closer within the next 10 days. But yeah, today would be nice if she'd come.
Record a podcast, give birth, you know, it's all in a day's work.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
give it another 15, exactly. 20 minutes.
Uh-huh. I did. I got strict directions from Michael Goff. After 3 o'clock today is acceptable. Yes, I said, okay, no problem.
So congratulations, Megan. And I want to back up a little bit and ask you about your running background.
I have been running since about 2014. I was introduced to running by my father at a time where he felt like I significantly needed some changes in my life. I was not into the idea at the time, but he used to conveniently invite me to things that would fall on like a Father's Day 5K race or, you know, a race that fell around his birthday. So by default, I would show up to these things. And that was my early introduction to running. And then in 2014, I made some changes in my life that, you know, led me to believe that maybe running could significantly help me. And so I started getting into it little by slow. And then from there, I just increased my interest and increased my mileage, and things kind of took off. And being, you know, the type of person that I am, I do all or nothing. And so I thought, well, with the Boston Marathon in my backyard and it being the world's greatest marathon, I need to run it. And off I went, you know, training for my first marathon, and that didn't, you know, slow down for several years after that. So, there's a lot that went on in between, but that's kind of the intro of my running resume in a nutshell.
And you are due to have a baby very soon, not till after we're done recording the podcast. But I want to ask you, and this is a safe space, right? Judgment-free zone. But did you run while pregnant? Because I know it's really different for everybody, what their experience is. But talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely did. With my first pregnancy, I actually ran the virtual Boston Marathon that was in 2020 when I was about 8 weeks pregnant. So I was very early on, but, you know, I was already committed to the marathon, and getting pregnant wasn't going to pull me out of it. So, but I went on to run until I was about 7 months pregnant. And I would have continued if physically I could have, but it was just causing some serious sciatic pain for me. And so I switched at 7 months pregnant to the bike and did some cycling up until literally 24 hours before I delivered Charlie, my first daughter. And it really helped me mentally. And then it also helped me physically, just with, I think, labor and delivery, and then also the recovery from that as well. So when I got pregnant with my second baby, I planned on doing the exact same thing, and not really taking into consideration that I also have now a 1.5-year-old to juggle in the mix. And so, you know, running and wasn't as easy this pregnancy. I was a lot more tired, and I felt that for sure. But I did run up until I was about 6 months pregnant, and I'm still working out. I just had to switch from the running on the street to workouts in the gym more. And I'm doing a ton of walking, but it's just the exhaustion this pregnancy is on a whole nother level. And so I definitely have been able to keep my body moving, and I plan to do that until she comes out too. It's just looked a little bit differently, which I had to be flexible and accept, which wasn't the easiest task for me to do, but here we are.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. It's not easy, but you do have to respect what your body's telling you, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a temporary state.
Yeah. And it was telling me to slow down a little bit. I mean, it was like one of those things where I'm like, I know that running is going to give me the energy that I need to keep going. But at the same time, it was like, there's just this double-edged sword where I just like physically couldn't do it. And my 1.5-year-old is, thankfully we were blessed with like a very, very well-behaved child. And she so far has a really calm temperament, and she's, you know, she set the bar really high for her sister. We'll say that, you know, but it's still a lot of work, and it's an adjustment. And, you know, our schedules are changing constantly. And my husband is also a runner, and he qualified for Boston this year. So trying to incorporate the time that he needs for his training and, you know, all the other things that go into keeping our family together, it was just a little bit more challenging.
So how did you get involved with the Bulldogs?
So I struggled for a lot of years with drugs and alcohol, and never really found you know, a path or a community that kind of helped pull me away from that. Several failed attempts at what I thought would help, but it wasn't until my father actually caught the story of the Boston Bulldogs on the Channel 4 news. And at that time, you know, he was doing anything and everything he could to help me kind of pull away from the addiction too. And so he said, you know, you should check this group out. They're a community that's made up of people who are in recovery or that have been impacted by addiction. They meet weekly, they go running, you should check them out. And at the time I was like, but I still didn't consider myself a runner. I really wasn't sure what running would do for me. And, but for whatever reason, I did reach out to the founder, Mike Ferullo, and asked him, you know, a little bit about the Bulldogs. And he asked how I heard about it. It was a very short conversation, but at the end of it, he gave me a simple direction that was to just show up. Mm. And for whatever reason, in that moment, in that time in my life, that simple direction of just show up seemed very attainable for me. Mm-hmm. And so I drove out on a Saturday morning in the middle of February. It was freezing cold. I still wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. But when I arrived, I quickly came to realize that I was part of something much bigger than a running club. And I was a part of a community that truly cared about my well-being, that, you know, was there to support one another, that was built based first on the community aspect, and the running component was second. But together, it made significant changes in my life.
That's wonderful. It's wonderful. So, and I don't mean to be flippant with this question, but as the mother of a Frenchie, I have to ask, why is the club called the Boston Bulldogs?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And we get it a lot, believe me, because I would imagine a lot of people want to know, because the Bulldog is probably the worst mascot you could have for a running club, running, considering they like don't even like to walk. But our founder, again, Mike Ferullo, he had a Bulldog, Gus, and it was like, you know, the center of their lives next to their son, Max. But yeah, so that was sort of where the Bulldog came from. He passed away a few years ago, but he was definitely a huge part of his life, and they love Bulldogs through and through. So,
All right. Okay.
Megan, you touched on this a little bit when you were talking about the community of being with the Boston Bulldogs, but tell us a little bit about what the club has done for you and your sobriety.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And it's a hard one to answer unless you have, you know, the rest of the afternoon to chat about it, because the changes are pretty significant. But at the time that I found the Bulldogs, I was, you know, without even really realizing it, just very isolated, very alone. And, you know, didn't really have much of a social circle, didn't really have a huge community of people that I spent any quality time with. I really, up until that point, hadn't really found my footing in life. And I didn't know where my people were. I didn't know where my place was. I didn't know where I belonged. And I never really thought about it either. I you know, I spent a significant amount of time struggling. And so those types of things came second on the list. And when I found the Bulldogs, I found people who actually cared about me. I found people who challenged me to want to do better. They talked about things like tapping into my true potential, for instance, and I had never really thought about what that meant or what my true potential was. And so, you know, how do you do that? And why is a running club the one that's suggesting I do that? But through these little attainable goals that our running club provides through different programs, like our Full Circle program, it really does start to tap into your true potential. And by participating in those programs, I was able to, you know, set that self-esteem alive again and build some confidence in myself that I didn't have before. And I think organically, those things just started to bleed into other areas of my life. And I really did start to see my true potential. And when I was able to really kind of enlarge upon that, I started to see how beneficial it was to be a part of a community that supported me the way that I did. And so, you know, the next best thing I knew to do and was to start giving that back to others and to show people that when they come to the Bulldogs, that they're going to be welcomed the same way I was. And it's just kind of been this rinse and repeat sort of motion that has continued to shape and change and save my life. But at the same time, I get to give back and do that for other people, where to me, I don't really know any other places or spaces that I can do that on a daily basis without it feeling like any type of work. This is truly, you know, something special and something I'll always be a part of and be grateful for in my own life.
I love this metaphor, perfect metaphor, that you found your foot in through a running club.
Yeah, no pun intended, I guess.
No pun. I like it. But seriously though, I'm curious about, like, what do you think it is about running specifically that helps those who are touched by addiction?
Well, running makes you feel good, number one, right? I mean, you know, especially people that have struggled with addiction were chasing that ability to feel good and to get away from the things that were making them feel bad, which is why we turn to drugs and alcohol. But I don't think anybody would argue with the fact that running makes you feel good. So that's, I think, the most obvious thing is if we can find a replacement for what used to make us feel good with a healthier version of how we can feel good, that's the first thing that I think we get attached to. And then on top of it, it's a really good escape from, you know, the day to day. It's a good way to decompress. It's a good way to deal with our stress. It's a good way to settle some of that anxiety that goes on. And, you know, in combination of all of those things, it's like when you're out there running, whether it's with a pair of headphones in your ears by yourself or you're with a group, there are so much going on that's just positive and allowing you to feel a certain way that it's just makes it so much easier to come back to. I have a running jacket that I got made after I ran the Boston Marathon in 2015. And on one sleeve, it has my name. Mm-hmm. And on the other sleeve, it says no responsibilities. And people always ask me, like, what's that, the name of your team? Or is that, you know, what your club is called? But for me, I had no responsibilities put on my sleeve because it was the only time ever in my life throughout the day, throughout the week, at any moment where I truly felt like nothing else mattered. I was in the present moment and just feeling really good about, you know, those miles that I was in. And I, all the other responsibilities and heavy lifts of the world and of life kind of went away while I was moving my body. And I think other people experience that too. And that's what we need in order to kind of keep going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's that time for ourselves. We like to think of it as putting yourself first on your to-do list. That's what a run does for you.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great way of saying it.
Yeah. So can you describe what the running program is on a regular basis and also how it differs for members who are training for Boston Marathon?
Sure. Yeah. Day to day, the running club has four chapters that run weekly, plus a trail run that runs on Sundays. So our core component of what we do is meet weekly and run. We meet in Chestnut Hill twice. We meet in Plymouth, and then we also meet in Quincy. And that's just based on your running level capacity. There's all different levels. So if you know, people want to come and just walk and check out the community, they're welcome to do that. If they're only able to do a little bit of a walk jog and run a little bit, they're welcome to do that. There are people that have been with us for a while that will lead longer runs, but that's basically what goes on during the week. And then we have other programs built in to the organization as well. And the first one is a full circle program, which allows people to commit to a 6-week program where they're provided a running coach, a wellness sponsor, and a training plan that will get them from point A to point B. Everybody in Full Circle One, their end goal is a 5K, regardless of if you've run a bazillion 5Ks or if you've never ran a single mile. What we do in that is challenge people with additional wellness goals. So between the distance itself, in addition to the two wellness goals and a commitment over 6 weeks, people really start to do exactly what I talked about before. And that's, you know, tap into their true potential and see where the benefits can come from. And then that program goes on to a Full Circle 2, which is a 10K. And then we do have a Full Circle 3, which is a half marathon. It's a little bit more informal where people will do, you know, that the half marathon outside of our weekly runs. It's what I probably didn't mention and should have, is at the end of those 6 weeks, the 5K and the 10K are run at our weekly runs. So the whole community comes together to celebrate the accomplishments, talk about the wellness goals, hear from the participants to see what the program did for them, how they're feeling at the end of it. And it's really motivational and inspirational for, you know, new members coming in and also members that have been around for a long time to see people, you know, go through these programs and changes and get the benefits that they're getting. At the end of the Full Circle 2, they have the opportunity to apply for what we call our leadership program. And that's where they kind of split their responsibility now from being a member and also giving back to the community as a whole. So they become the wellness sponsors that they had coming up through the program. And they give, you know, additional offerings that we have in our leadership program, like a stipend if they get paid for certain things, like different outreach events that we'll do. But the most important part of, I think, our leadership program is the role of giving back to the new members and becoming that wellness sponsor and kind of that touch point person that can really help them, you know, stay committed and accountable to their wellness until they start believing in themselves and, you know, really getting some of the benefits that we're hoping people will see through the programs.
Nice. Nice.
And then your other question was, how does it differ from other running clubs that run the Boston Marathon? Was that correct?
Oh, no. I was just curious how, if the Bulldogs who are training for Boston, how, you know, do they run longer than the rest of the group? Do they meet extra times? You know?
Yeah. So that's kind of its own little program that we offer. You know, there are certain parameters that we require for the application process, but once we do solidify a team, which has been of 15 people the last 3 years, we do have a very kind of customized program for them where they get coaching through the wonderful coach, Paul Davies. They get training plans through one of our wonderful friends and ambassadors, Jack Fultz. I lead the marathon team in communication, and usually I'm out there training with them, but obviously the last 2 years have been a little bit different. Yeah. But we connect weekly. We have group runs that we do together every Saturday, and those are according to the training plan. So yes, 100%, they'll go a lot longer. They just completed their last 21 mile run 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and 15 last weekend, and now they'll taper down until April 15th comes along. But it's very much done in what we like to see as a team effort, and it's easier to do those long runs and get through those that tougher training periods, especially when you're in the thick of it, when you have your teammates alongside of you. So we do our best to keep their spirits up by putting dedicated water stops out along the course to cheer them on and, you know, come together at, you know, for different things that they can get, you know, personal physical therapy rather for, you know, we bring in people that will stretch them out at the end of the long runs. We go to lunch Wow. together, different things like that. So I don't know if it's totally different from what other organizations look like, but I know we are one of the few actual running clubs in the charity program. A lot of other charities mm-hmm. have different missions, and you know, we are one that has, that is obviously a running club. So we do, I think we do a little bit more than the rest, but mm-hmm. it's one of my favorite times of year. And I really look forward to seeing, hopefully seeing in person. If not, I'll be watching from the TV, but how the team mm-hmm. does this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a quick break to hear from some supporting sponsors. Please stay with us. Get 20% off any Tifosi Optics sunglasses with code AMR20 at TifosiOptics.com. Just like with reading glasses, I like to have a pair of sunglasses close at hand no matter where I am. In the drawer with my GPS watch and headphones, in my pickleball bag, in the car, and in my carry-on bag. And they are all Tifosi Optics sunglasses. They're incredibly durable, comfortable, cute, and priced, so you can always have multiple pairs at the ready. Tifosi's shatterproof polycarbonate lenses are scratch-resistant and they reduce glare. And I really appreciate that the Tifosi glasses with fun-colored lenses, like Smoke Rose Mirror and Smoke Bright Blue, let me see the world the way it actually looks without distorting it like some similarly priced shades do. As I mentioned, Tifosi glasses are super high quality. Tifosi Glide technology allows the frame to slide on comfortably and provide an anti-bounce fit. Hydrophilic rubber nose bands provide more grip the more you sweat, so the glasses stay secure during even your most intense activities. On a recent 6 mile run, my Tifosi Swanks, one of Tifosi's most popular models, stayed in place perfectly, and they were comfortable the entire way. See for yourself. Get 20% off Tifosi sunglasses with code AMR20 at TifosiOptics.com. Again, get 20% off Tifosi sunglasses using code AMR20 at TIFOSIOptics.com. That code AMR20, that website, TifosiOptics.com. For $20 off Portland Marathon registration, use code AMR20 at PortlandMarathon.com. Has this episode got you thinking of running a marathon? Come out to my fair city, Portland, the Rose City, to take part in the Portland Marathon presented by OHSU Health. It offers both a marathon and half marathon happening this year on Sunday, October 6th. The courses for both the full and the half marathon are fast, beautiful, and a fantastic way to experience the Rose City. Since the city is bisected by the Willamette River, both the full and the half marathon have numerous bridge crossings, yet the maximum course elevation is a mere 178 feet. The downtown start and finish area for both courses is only 36 feet above sea level. Like the favorable elevation, Portland weather works in the participants' favor. Historical temperature averages for race day are a low of 50 and a high of 67 degrees. Historical chance of precipitation on race day is roughly 25%, although that's typically very early in the season for us to get wet weather here. Come chase your 26.2 or 13.1 dreams here in Portland on Sunday, October 6. Join us in the Rose City. Register today at portlandmarathon.com and use code AMR20 for $20 off registration. Again, go to portlandmarathon.com and use code AMR20 for $20 off registration. portlandmarathon.com, that code for $20 off, AMR20.
So Megan, we know the program's anonymous, but can you share, without revealing anything too personal, a standout memory or two of connections forged among some of the members?
Sure. Yeah, I can. Would it be okay if this story involved me as well? Or
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Then I would be confident in saying she would be okay with letting me tell kind of her story and how we connected. But yeah,
go for it.
So at the end of my last, hopefully, God willing, last attempt at getting sober, I was managing a sober house in Holbrook. And we had a woman enter the house who was just, you know, like the rest of us coming into sober living, just broken. Life was a mess, had all these things hanging over her head to take care of, was just not in a good place and really had no direction or idea of how to get out of it. And she came to us and had a plan that was a terrible plan, but it was to stay just for a very short time. And she was going to leave and go back home and fix everything. And life was going to go on. And for anybody that has been through trying to get clean and sober before, we know that doesn't always work, hardly ever. We really need to like settle in and take some time to make some changes for ourselves and allow others in to help us. So she moved in. Her name was Ashley. And at the time, like I said, I was probably, I'd say 8 months sober. And so I was connected with the Bulldogs. I had my running, you know, consistent. I was going to meet them for weekly runs every Saturday. And she had very bad sleeping habits. And I would wake her up off the couch in the living room every morning. And it was, you know, she was just so used to being up all night and trying to break those cycles weren't, you know, they didn't come easily for her. And so I would wake her up every morning when I went downstairs to get ready for my run and say, you got to go into your room. And eventually, I think, looking back, it might have been her breaking those rules might have been the one good thing that happened, because eventually she got curious about like, well, what are you doing down here every morning at the same time, making the same breakfast and going off, you know, in a good mood. And so she finally one Saturday morning asked me like, where do you go on Saturdays and where are you going? Can you take me with you? And I was waiting for that because it's not something that I wanted to push on anybody, especially in early recovery where, you know, if they're not ready to be there, they're not going to make it. So, you know, to have a little bit of interest and want to be there is all I needed to see. And I totally hooked onto it. I was like, get dressed, we're going. And she said, I don't have any sneakers. And I said, I'll get you some sneakers, no problem. So I got her dressed in the running gear that she needed. And we got in the car and we drove out to Chestnut Hill together. And she at the time was a smoker. She was not a runner, had zero running experience. And when she got to the reservoir, she realized what her self-proclaimed thought was like, this is not for me. She tried to run a little bit. It didn't work. She got out of breath really fast and she just stopped and said, you know, this isn't for me. And I figured that would happen. I mean, as it would with anybody that doesn't have a lot of running experience, it can be discouraging to try it and have it not feel good and to see all these other runners kind of keep going and not be able to keep up with them. And so I told her like, listen, just keep showing up, just keep coming. And so I continued to take her and eventually, you know, she got a little bit better and then she was doing a little bit more and she started to see that like, wait, I can do hard things and I can do this. And, you know, so over the next year that she stayed in that house, she continued to work on her wellness. She continued to work on her recovery. She continued to work on herself. And now she is 5 years later, a staple in our running club. She has run the Boston Marathon 3 times. She'll be on the course again this year for the Boston Bulldogs. She leads our Plymouth chapter weekly on Tuesdays out on Plymouth. And she truly is a textbook example of what this community and what the Bulldogs can do for people that commit to their wellness. And it's been just such a, she's one of my best friends today. And I tell her all the time, like, you know, maybe in those early moments, I was put into your life to help you get going. But the way that the tables have turned and you help me so much now, it really is just a beautiful story. And I just love her so much, but it's incredible to see how far she's come.
That is a really super awesome story. I love that. Mm-hmm. And she's taken it and run with it. Another pun.
Exactly. Exactly. For sure. Yeah.
Couldn't think of any other way to describe it. But Megan, you mentioned Boston Marathon. Of course, we're talking about the Boston Marathon. And I'm also thinking about Boston in early April, like the excitement. You start feeling the electricity of the Boston Marathon's coming and the hum of the Boston Marathon. It's just such an exciting time. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about what does the Boston Marathon mean to your group specifically?
I think when people hear Boston Marathon, it's like this huge, lofty, far in the distant, you know, future, that goal that people always dream of, but never really think about it being something they can do. I mean, there's a lot of our members that we hear that they'll say they grew up watching the Boston Marathon. There are some members who are like, you know, how long is the Boston Marathon? So that's always a good indication that they don't know much about running or marathons. So we really do have people on like both ends of the spectrum. But I think when they hear like, hey, listen, we have a team for the Boston Marathon. And if you truly stay committed to your wellness, like you could be on that team 1 year, I think it gets people's wheels turning and really gives them like a chance to turn one of those lofty bucket list goal items into a reality. And then when people do join the team, they inspire others every year. It happens every year. Like that's, I mean, one of the things Ashley saw was, you know, me and the rest of the team running the Boston Marathon. And she just was like, is that something I could do 1 year? Like, I know I've always heard of the Boston Marathon, obviously. And, you know, but is that something I could do? And, you know, we turn that into a possibility as long as they're willing to commit to their running and their wellness and they stay on track. Like there's nothing more than we want than for people to be able to experience the world's greatest marathon in their own backyard. So yeah, I think people, you know, can look at it originally like just something that they hear about or something that they attend or something that they've just known to be a huge event in Boston every year. But then when it becomes, that could be your story, it really becomes something special.
That is so lovely. Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us. And you have an exciting couple weeks coming up. So we'll be thinking of you, and hopefully Michael will let us know when baby number 2 arrives. So yeah, take good care.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Well, as I mentioned in the intro, our next guest is Michael Goff. He's a devoted member of the Boston Bulldogs, and he's running Boston Marathon as a fundraiser for the club. Michael is a father of 2 grown sons. He, his wife, and his mother-in-law live in Needham, a suburb southwest of Boston. Michael's a veteran of several marathons, and he's also, as I mentioned in the intro, a longtime devoted member of the Another Mother Runner community. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks, Sarah. It's great to be here.
Yeah. And in full disclosure, I should mention that you and I are friends from college. We are both members of Colgate Crew.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you have moved from rowing into running. So tell us about that. Tell us about your running background.
Well, you know, it's funny because obviously for crew, we ran all the time and woke up early all the time. And after crew, I was like, yeah, I think I'm done with getting up early and I think I'm done with running. But I'm trying to think, it was 2012. I did one of those couch to 5Ks and it was all right. It was fine. I ran my 5K here in Needham on the 4th of July and it was super fun. But honestly, 2015, I got consistent with it and just started making it a habit running 3-4 days a week. And then I saw Sarah run the Boston Marathon in 2016. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem as horrible as I thought it might. And it was just so inspiring. So So Sarah and I started talking about what the path to a marathon might look like. And you know, that of course meant, I think at that point, actually, I was probably already in the Train Like a Mother plan for a half marathon for, I forget which one.
Probably, there's probably so many. There's so many. Well,
yeah, there are now, but, mm-hmm. but yeah, so, yeah. And then it just became, you know, a habit and, you know, a lot of solo running for a very long time and then started developing the community of running, you know, through Train Like a Mother and, eventually things like November Project and, you know, definitely the Boston Bulldogs.
Yeah. So tell us about November Project. Did November Project originate in the Boston area? I'm now wondering.
It did. Yeah. So, and again, going back to rowing, two former rowers from mm-hmm. Northeastern had a Google sheet after they graduated. You know, they were planning on, you know, setting up some activities so they could stay fit after college, after rowing. And of course, the Google sheet name was November Project. And it's now in something like 52 cities worldwide. And it's just super fun. Full transparency, it used to be a little bro-y back in the early days and super competitive. It is a very inclusive, welcoming place now where I try to go at least once a week. Summit Ave here in the Boston area in Brookline. And we run hills every Friday. And they are at Harvard Stadium every Wednesday. I don't do that during marathon training for obvious reasons. But it's super fun. And you know, they've got a similar motto to the Bulldogs, which is just show up. So just show up and get into it and you're made to feel welcome.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So Michael, tell folks how in a way, this is your first Boston Marathon, yet in other ways, this will be your second Boston.
Yeah. When was that? 2020? That pandemic thing. Mm-hmm. Oh man. Mm-hmm, I was so excited.
You were very excited.
I was so excited to run the Boston Marathon in 2020 and had done a great job with my fundraising and just buckled down and was really enjoying training with the team. And we had a really great team that year. And we do everywhere, but you know, I got to be with them. And then, you know, mid-March, they're like, yeah, we're not doing the Boston Marathon. Full stop, and then like stay tuned. So it ended up being a virtual marathon in September of 2020. So that meant I trained for the Boston Marathon twice in 1 year. I think I logged the most miles ever in a year, like close to 1500.
Mm.
So yeah, and it was good. Yeah, because the Bulldogs, we meet, the Chestnut Hill chapter meets at the Chestnut Hill Reservoir, which is right on the Boston Marathon course, right in Cleveland Circle. So we started there. We did a bunch of different loops. So we got to see our friends and family like three times. Mm. And we were on the course a little bit. I hit Heartbreak Hill at mile 4, which is not quite the same. But, you know, it wasn't the same. And you don't have the crowd support. At one point, I was running down Beacon Street toward downtown Boston. And some woman literally, like an old commercial, sticks her head out of her apartment window building. And she's like, when's the marathon? What are you guys doing? I'm like, it's now. I mean, it was basically, I think you had like a window of the whole weekend or something like that to get it done. And you tracked it on their app. And if you finished, you were official. But again, it's not quite the same. You know, there's no, I did get a very nice yarn and paper medal from the Bulldogs that I still have and cherish. But fast forward 3 months to the end of the year, I actually got my medal in the mail and I really wanted to run the course. So December 30th, I got dropped off in Hopkinton by my wife, Marcia, and my son, Spencer. And, I just ran the course and I got to the finish line and I went into marathon sports. I'm like, this is going to sound crazy, but I just ran here from Hopkinton. I've got my medal from the fall. You know, would you mind coming out to the finish line and putting it around my neck? And it was just, it was a nice thing, but I am so psyched to actually run the real thing this year with my teammates.
So, and I got to say, I bet you anything that you're not, you went in saying, this is going to sound crazy. And they're like, oh yeah. We've heard this story before. Okay.
Well, so
other people have run from Hopkins. Yes. I'm not to diminish what you did, but you were in good company.
Well, and shockingly, the first guy's like, What? Like, no, I'm working. I can't go outside. I'm going to get in trouble. And this other guy who worked there came up. He's like, hey, guys, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, this guy just ran from Hopkinton and he wants me to go out and put a medal around his neck. And the guy's like, yeah, cool. Let's do it. And
he, go do it.
And so I have this very nice photo. I found out later his name is Aaron because, of course, he, one of my friends from the Bulldogs, works at Marathon Sports and he texted him. So when I texted my friend to say, guess what I just did? He's like, I've already heard.
And of course they're happy about it. I mean, nothing happened back during pandemic. So they were like, oh, today's different than yesterday somehow. What? It's noteworthy. This is lovely.
Yeah, not a bad way to end the year.
Wow.
So Michael, how did you get involved with the Boston Bulldogs in the first place?
So in March of 2011, my brother died by suicide. After years of dealing with addiction. And at that point, my boys were in eighth grade and fourth grade, and my oldest Alex was on a soccer team, and one of the moms of one of the teammates, you know, heard all about it. You know, we were friends, and you know, the Bulldogs have every May a run for recovery, and it's a 5K run and a tribute to people who have been impacted by addiction and sort of a tribute to folks who have lost their lives to addiction. So I got involved in a very emotional 5K, and at the end, at the tribute, we're at White Stadium and we're all sitting listening to speakers, and we all sort of did a walk one lap around the track. Everybody sort of holding up signs they had made honoring their loved ones, and it was very powerful. It really was very moving. And then, you know, probably a couple months later, I joined them at Chestnut Hill and just started running with them.
So how is your training for Boston going, and what is your plan for Marathon Monday?
That is a great question. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So, you know, as we record this, you know, we're just about 2 weeks out, and obviously in the taper, so the taper crazies are real, but just getting super excited about it. The training went really well. You know, a couple of minor injuries, a little calf strain, but other than that, I've just been having a blast. The team is a really good one. Last year's team was super, super fast. This team has a mix of people who are super fast, normal runners and sort of back of the pack runners like myself. And I think we've all sort of paired up with folks we think we're going to end up running with. And it's just exciting now, like just the anticipation of, you know, please don't let there be another pandemic. And, you know, Marathon Monday can't come fast enough.
So you told us about how you got involved with the Boston Bulldogs. And thank you for sharing that story. And I'm sorry that is part of your family history. But let's go forward a little bit and think about what they mean to you and how often you run with them, even when you're not marathon training.
Yeah, like the Bulldogs mean so much to me. And fair warning, like I've already gotten choked up this week thinking about the marathon and thinking about my brother. But it's this amazing, amazing community. And I think maybe the best way to describe it is we had a team lunch at our founder's house a couple of weekends ago, Coach Mike Ferruo. And one of my teammates talked about her aunt, who's a Bulldog. And so she's running the marathon as a new Bulldog. And she said, you know, thanks to the Bulldog, she gets to have a relationship with her aunt now. And that was amazing to me. That was astounding to me because, like, at the end of the day, that's all I would have wanted for my brother. And I think he might have done things differently and had a different life if he had something like the Bulldogs around him when he was struggling. But just the way people's lives are changed, you know, my own included, and, you know, just my relationship with my brother, even, you know, 13 years and a month after he passed, is better because I think I understand him better and understand it's an illness. I can't be angry because he didn't do certain things that people who think rationally and aren't suffering from a mental illness would just do, because, like, you know, you go to the doctor says, take your medicine, you do it and you get better. But that's not the same with addiction and mental health. So I've gotten to come to terms with that. and make a ton of great friends. And so, you know, I'm there at least once, sometimes twice a week. We run from Chestnut Hill on Saturday mornings and Thursday nights. And sometimes I go to the Quincy chapter. You know, it's a little bit more of a drive.
Yeah.
But it's just a great group of people who I absolutely love and adore. You know, and it's funny, Sarah, because, you know, I was thinking back to when you had me on for the, I think it was like the 2018 Father's Day episode.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I was definitely running with the Bulldogs then, but we didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason I didn't talk about it is a dumb one, because at that point, I'm like, I didn't consider myself a runner. Like, I've always been super proud of, you know, the Bulldogs and the mission. But for me personally, I'm like, I can't have a run club jacket. Like, there are too many questions. I would much rather talk about addiction and my brother and, you know, what that's like and be transparent in that way than to actually admit to being a runner. At that point, obviously a lot has changed since then, but.
Well, can we dig into that for a sec? I mean, I think so many people listening can relate to that sentiment that I've only done this, you know, 5-10 Ks and, you know, 4 half marathons, but I'm not a runner. I mean, what do you think changed for you?
I think realizing like it just doesn't matter. Like what speed you are. Like, are you going to see your friends and have fun? Are you going outside to play? Like that's, if you do that and you're moving forward, if you're walking, if you're walk running, if you're running, you're a runner. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like it's that simple. Like I know I did, and I think a lot of us tend to overthink it. Mm-hmm. And get like super into the data, and you know, I'm all about the data and the numbers. And I can share a funny story about numbers later, but like, it just doesn't matter. Like, you know, do I have goals? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, it just doesn't matter. Like, I'm out there having fun, and I'm seeing my friends, and I'm getting fresh air, and I'm living a healthy lifestyle. And yeah, like I try not to talk about running now. Now it's sort of the opposite. Like the old joke of, you know, how do you know someone's run a marathon? Don't worry, they'll tell you. You know, I'm not that bad. But
oh, you think you're not that bad, Michael?
So, Michael, I know you ran the Marine Corps Marathon last year, and it was quite a warm day. And I'm somebody who does not love running marathons on quite warm days, so I'm full of empathy for that. but tell me, did you learn any lessons that you're going to carry into this race?
Besides, you know, praying for good, cool, dry weather.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the real lesson is, race day is going to bring what race day is going to bring, and you get what you get, and you don't get upset, and you just make the most of it, because all sorts of stuff can happen on race day. And I finally have come to the point where I'm fine with that. Like, I love training more than I love race day, although I am super, super excited for race day. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just soak it all in. And I know you guys always talk about how it's your victory lap. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like Marine Corps was horrible. Like it was just so hot. And when I say so hot, like 70 degrees, but 93% humidity.
Yeah.
And Tish, didn't you grow up like in Georgia or something? Aren't you?
I did. And then I moved to the Northeast where long distance running makes sense. And now I have moved back to the South, and I'm like, why? Wait a minute. Like a 5K is plenty long enough down here.
Yeah. And arguably, that should have been the worst marathon experience of my entire life. And it kind of felt like it at times. Like there was a camera at the halfway point, and I remember sticking my tongue out and capturing that photo for posterity because I was so done even halfway through. I'm like, this is not going to go the way I want it to go. Mm. And I just was fine with it. But, you know, I got diverted because it was so hot and humid. They shortened the course. Mm-hmm. So I, quote unquote, only ran 24.2. But like, yeah. But everybody's like, but they gave you a medal, right? But yeah, you know, whatever. They gave me
so
a medal.
So sorry.
But, you know, and people are like, oh, you're going to go back next year? I'm like, I don't think so.
How about never?
Like, you know, Antarctic marathon is sounding really good. So, yeah, I mean, I think the big takeaway from that and from getting to run a couple of training runs, long runs from Hopkinton, you know, in towards Boston this year is like, yeah, you know, this might be the best this feels on this day training. And race day may go differently, but, you know, having run the course so much and we run the hills, the Newton Hills all the time, we know what to expect from the course, but you can never anticipate the weather. So it'll be fine.
So last question, what are your plans for the marathon? I mean, are you going to, you know, kiss some of the Wellesley gals? Do they still do that post COVID, you know, post Me Too moment, you know, like, I mean, because I really regretted not kissing a Wellesley student in my first Boston. So I kissed two the second time I ran it to make up for it. Yeah.
See, I think you can get away with that much better than I can. And I, you know what? Nah, no, like, you know, even after a workout, you know, like at November Project or the Bulldogs, if we're hugging, I'm like, yeah, you don't want any part of this. It's just gross. What I will say, and maybe some of my teammates will hear this and the surprise will be ruined. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, the women of Munger Hall at Wellesley College post, you know, tell us what signs you want us to make and we will, to the best of our ability, get as many signs up as we can to cheer you on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably replaced some of the kissing through the scream tunnel. Mm-hmm. So if all goes according to plan, there will be a Go Bulldogs sign at Wellesley College.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, you know, I know where my mother-in-law is going to be. You know, she's always in Wellesley at in front of the Whole Foods because that's where they give out the best snacks and samples. And so I'll see her there. Uh-huh. And then I think Marsha and the boys and my sister are going to try to find me somewhere in Wellesley. And then I think the plan is to boogie back into Boston and jump on the T and then come out to the Cleveland Circle area and cheer with the rest of the Bulldogs.
Because where are the Bulldogs on the race course?
So we have an office on Chestnut Hill Ave. So it's like right as you come off Comm Ave that connects, you know, you go down that little bit of a hill into Cleveland Circle before you turn left onto Beacon Street. Mm-hmm. So we are, we are right there, you know, sort of across from the ice rink.
Okay.
So we will be there in force. And I am very appreciative of everybody who's out there cheering. Cause I think I told you this, Sarah, but like a couple years ago, I think I was out there for 10 hours, like cheering everybody, like all the wheelchair racers and the lead pack. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to the very end, and I got home and I couldn't move.
Like, yeah, that's a marathon.
I felt so much worse than I did running the thing. Like, you guys are the real athletes here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Tish would agree that I just think there's no parallel to the Boston spectators.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to most.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just amazing. Wouldn't you agree, Tish?
So amazing. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I am excited to watch you from afar, Michael, and thank you so much for suggesting this podcast topic and joining us again on the show.
Thank you, Sarah.
Tish, I definitely was glad I had a tissue handy there.
Yeah, yes, that was really very emotional. And it also makes me think always at this time of year, Sarah, when we talk, just talking about the Boston Marathon make you want to go back and run the Boston Marathon again.
You know, not till the very end of what Michael was saying, and then remembering the spectators. And I mean, it just, you know, because I lived in Boston for a year and in Wellesley for 3 years, and I did not love my time there. And largely because of that was when my first marriage was breaking up, and I was just really too young for the suburb life and everything. And but gosh, so for me to really love Boston, it took me a little while to get there, but boy, there is a part of me that would enjoy going back. How about you?
Now, and when you lived there, did you watch the Boston Marathon?
We did. My office was right near the finish line. My office was right behind Copley Place. And so, but you know, that was in the, gosh, I worked there from 1992 to 96. So that was a long time ago. And one day we did not get the day off from work. So, and I lived pretty close to about mile, I don't know, 14 or 15 of the marathon. I went and watched from there once, but then usually I was right at the finish or area pretty close to it. But it just didn't, it wasn't as big a deal back then.
There weren't as many competitors either in the early 90s. It was under 10,000 people.
Okay, yeah. So it, you know, it definitely took over the city, but not quite so, you know, not nearly as much as it does now. And so for me, the Marathon Monday holds special importance to me because that was the day I met my best friend. It was her first day at, we worked in a magazine called Walking, and we had lunch, which she worked in the art department and I was in editorial. And so we, after lunch with her boss, we went over and watched the finish of the Boston Marathon. So it's all kind of wrapped up in gooey, wonderful feelings. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a long answer, huh? All right. Well, if the East Coast is calling to you, how about joining us in New York State at Lake Placid from September 6th to 9th? We are having our annual retreat that involves running and bringing in expert speakers. We recently added one expert to the lineup. There's going to be a self-defense for runners session. We have amazing meals. We, as I said, go on group runs. There also, our host hotel is right on this boat-free lake called Mirror Lake that is right in downtown, the charming downtown Lake Placid. And so since it will still be warm, I am planning on doing some open water swimming while we're there. It's all optional, whatever you want to do, but I will guarantee you, you're going to have a great time. So please consider joining us in Lake Placid in early September. To find out all the details and register, go to anothermotherrunner.com. Our podcast today was produced in St. Paul, Minnesota by Barry Medora from Fire in the Bluff. I thought that was wonderful.